broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana,
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites. On the Worldwide Legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song. See what's currently playing. View the weekly schedule in your local time zone and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Bill Sparks. I'm going to get my 5 seconds of fame, and I'm turning it over to Chris right now. Good evening, Chris.
Okay. All right. Well, your fame is over. But now Bill's famous. Bill's so famous, he doesn't need to talk. We all know that Bill's around, and he's going to help us out tonight. We're all going to try to pick up some scores here and there when we have a chance to mute and get scores, because we've got ongoing action. But anyway, welcome to number 34 of Sports Lounge Live. This is March 24th, 2019. And last week, of course, we ran down the NCAA pairings and did all that stuff. Well, tonight we've actually got scores we can talk about. We're trying to get into the round of the Sweet 16. That'll be all set up by about midnight tonight, Eastern time. So we have some ongoing games. We have some finals. So we're going to start out with college basketball. Then we're going to go to baseball. Not only do we have baseball news, we have a lot of contract extensions and signings this week, but we also have our fearless or fearful predictions, depending on who you are and all that. I had to rush at the end because I was like, I don't know, mine may be crazy, but we'll see what happens. Then we have the NBA. We have the football next, because we have a big retirement to announce and a couple other moves. Then the NBA, then the NHL, and then whatever else we have time for. Pick up some scores as we go along. But first, Sean.
All right. First of all, you can join us by downloading your Zoom app or dialing 646-876-9923. And when you're here, hit 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice. When you're here, star 6 mutes you and unmute you. Star 9 raises your hand. Alt Y raises your hand on the computer to ask a question. You can leave us a comment or question at any time. 773-572-7715. The podcast is going. If you want to skip over it, hit the pound key. That way you don't have to listen to the whole hour unless you want to. That'll skip right and just leave us a message. Do not mark it private. That way we can all hear it. And our buddy Robert, ringsidereporter.com or 773-572-7781 is how you hear him. And we want to give a little update on our buddy Scott from Conversation Station. Things are not looking good. All I'll say is his wife in the next few days may be making, as she said, maybe having to make a decision on what to do. He's on ventilator. He's not responding. But so our thoughts and prayers and our thank yous go out to Scott. He was always standing by the program from the beginning. So, just an update on there. But
and man, Sean, before we get started with basketball, remember we do have a comment from Carolyn about the tune in again. And basically, all I can say to Carolyn about the tune in is you have to make sure that your team is playing at the correct time and all. And you can't really take things seriously during spring training because not all spring training games are on. So if you continue to have issues during the regular season, you may want to contact Amazon and talk to them about it if you continue to have issues with it.
Yeah, because what happens is if you ask for a team and that broadcast isn't playing, it can confuse things because it'll give you, it'll say, and another thing you can do is say list live games and it'll tell you which teams, which broadcasts are actually on. But that's not going to be a problem as of Thursday because everybody's broadcast will be on. If they're playing, they'll be on. And we'll see, we'll let people know what happens during rain delays. That's always a crapshoot. We don't know what they're going to do during those, whether it's going to stop or whether you're going to get whatever programming is there. And it depends on the network.
Typically,
provide Chris, programming.
Typically, Chris, on TuneIn and probably MLB too, typically they will turn the sound down during rain delays. Very typically, that's what happens.
But even people like the Cubs and Red Sox that provide programming, you won't get
That's correct. They usually turn the sound down.
Okay. All right. Well, that may be that we'll see what happens. Anyway, we have some college basketball finals. We have finals from the NCAA and the NIT. There's interest in the NIT. And so we've got a couple of those finals, but there's fewer finals than you'd think because, hey, it's already 8 o'clock at night Eastern time. Where are all these games? Well, they kind of set the schedule up really for Sunday night more than, you know, Sunday afternoon. There's some games, but not too many. So we had in the first game of the day from Columbus, we had Iowa beating Tennessee. I wrote it down wrong.
Tennessee beat Iowa.
83-77. Yeah, really. I'm sorry about that, Perry. Tennessee beat Iowa 83-77 in overtime. And this was a heck of a game. Tennessee had a 25-point lead at half, a 21-point lead at halftime, 25-point lead at, late in the first half. And Iowa came back, and Tennessee kind of stopped playing, and a little of both. And that's always what happens when you have situations like that. But Iowa really, you know, got the game tied up and got it to overtime. But they really, would you say, Perry, they kind of ran out of gas?
I would definitely say they ran out of gas.
Yeah, and
Barnes found a way to do what he does a lot in tournaments. Almost found a way to blow it, but he lucked out. And,
yeah. Well, they're in the Sweet 16 the first time since 2014, I think. You know, since they've been in the Sweet 16, I think that's what I heard. North Carolina also went to the Sweet 16 by beating Washington 81-59, and it was more typical of the kind of games we had on yesterday. A couple of close games, but a lot of blowouts yesterday, and we had another one with North Carolina there. Duke just barely survived Central Florida 77-76 on the last second shots and heroics, and that was a crazy game. They were leading, had a small lead throughout, but basically it came right down to the end. So in the NIT, go ahead, John.
Okay. I was going to say, if Central Florida had been playing somebody else other than Duke, you'd be talking about them advancing.
Yeah, it was tough, a tough game. And if you're going to win the whole thing, which is what my prediction is for Duke, you're going to have, everybody's going to have a game like that. And, you know, if you have too many of them, you're not going to win. Obviously, one of them will be, you know, a difficulty. But Duke survived this one. And they didn't play badly. Central Florida played very well. Okay, in the NIT, we had a couple of games, too. The Wichita State Shuckers beat Clemson. I forgot to write that final down. But anyway, they beat
63-55.
63-55, that's right. Yeah. And that means that they're going to play Indiana, which means that Steve Nomer's Shockers are going into Bill Sparks' Indiana bailiwick on Tuesday night. So I know Steve's a big Shocker fan, and I know Bill's a big Indiana fan. So maybe they'll have to make a bet on a better record or something. They'll do something. And Texas beat Xavier 78-76. So Texas survives, and that was in overtime, by the way. And
Yeah, they'll play Norfolk State and
Colorado.
Colorado, whoever wins tomorrow. Whoever wins tomorrow in that, they'll play. And Texas will host that game they'd host it anyway. But either way, whoever had won that game was going to host because Alabama was eliminated by Norfolk State.
So. Okay, so we have games ongoing. And right now we know that Texas Tech is going to eliminate Buffalo. They're well ahead. They were ahead by about 20 or something when we came on the air. So that's not going to change.
It's actually more than that, Chris. They're ahead by almost 30.
All right. So, unfortunately, that's the end of the Buffalo Bills Bulls season, Buffalo Bulls. And then later on at 8:40 or so, and, of course, now these are all subject to availability when the games end, if they run long. Houston in that building is going to be playing Ohio State, if I have that right. And then these were, sort of cobbled together because you've got some games that are over. I had a 7:45 time for Virginia and Oklahoma, so I don't know if that's underway yet.
That is
just underway.
Just now starting. Okay. Yeah, just now starting.
Virginia Tech and Liberty. When Liberty was ahead earlier, how's that going? Do we know anything about that game?
Liberty's ahead by 3 points, 32-29.
Okay, that's still early. That started at 7:10, so that game will be still going on when we finish up. At 9:40, we have Oregon and Cal Irvine. That's the late game of the night.
12:13.
And that's right. But you wouldn't think so because, you know, Oregon's a power conference team, but it is. And Cal Irvine, they won their first NCAA tournament game. And, so we'll see how they can do against Oregon. And then the NIT.
Sort of a power.
That's what I'm saying. And then, when you think of a 12-13, you think of Liberty and Cal Irvine, something like that, you know, but you've got a name team in there in the 12.
Well, they're sort of a Power Five.
We know who they are. They play in the Rose Bowl sometimes. Okay, the NIT. We have NC State is, that game is underway, so we don't have to worry about those scores, but NC State, Harvard has gone to NC State to play them. We have TCU and Nebraska will start around 9:30. And tomorrow, that Norfolk State, Colorado game. I don't remember what time that is, but that's the other NIT game. So that's our college basketball. Any
comments?
And
then we don't talk a lot about it, but locally, Iowa, we know they lost in the men's tournament, but in the NCAA women's tournament, Iowa did make the final four, or the Sweet 16, I should say, as they defeated Missouri 68-52 today in Iowa City. Missouri did defeat the Drake women in overtime the other day, and Iowa beat Mercer the other day. And then Iowa State is playing in the women's tournament tomorrow. They play Missouri State, but I do not have a start time on
Texas,
that.
Yeah, Texas plays tomorrow, I believe, and I don't have a start time.
So this is a national tournament. It's not all about Iowa and Missouri. Are you telling me that?
Those are just the teams that I know.
But it's funny. Missouri and Missouri State and Iowa State and Iowa and Drake and everything. Crazy.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, though, Chris, the women's tournament. You hate to say it, but it's more of a local, regional thing. Men's tournament, you pretty much know, who all the teams are, but in the women, you pretty much keep track. Like in your case, you might know, Connecticut and teams like that. Because, we keep track of the Midwest stuff.
Women's basketball right now, I would say, is probably on the level where men's basketball was before the height of the 80s, like right around the UCLA, a little bit as Kentucky. You have about 15, 20 teams that people know, and then everybody else, everybody knows your Texas, your Tennessee, Connecticut, Baylor, those teams, South Carolina's kind of come on.
And Mississippi State's making a name for themselves. State,
And you talk about UConn. You look at some of those scores, and Tennessee does the same thing, some of the other perennial powers. They'll be in the tournament. It'll be a regional final. It'll beat somebody by 25 points. Who's a legitimate contender, you think, when you look at the seeding.
This was the first year that UConn was not a number one seed in I forget how many years in their tournament. It was the first year. But back to the men, yesterday, as we said, most of it was a snooze fest pretty much.
Yep.
But I will say what's very interesting, the first game yesterday and the first game today in some ways had some similarities because LSU jumped way out, then Maryland would battle back to it. I mean, it wasn't as big a blowout as like Tennessee was over Iowa at the beginning, but they were kind of similar. And then you had those second games, which were just kind of like, and I believe Wofford gave Kentucky a little bit. They gave Kentucky a little bit of a game. They did.
Yeah.
And Wofford's a team that I think as they get a little more experience, they've been ranked in the top 25 most of the year, and they're a team in the next year to watch out for, same as like Central Florida with Duke. I mean, Taco Fall, if he didn't play his way, he's a senior, 7'6", 300 pound. He is the old school big man for there. He's one, and so is Zion Williamson. You're starting to see the big man come back into basketball. If Taco Fall didn't play his way into maybe a first round of the NBA draft, I don't know. It's something, because I think a team, that's going to be a steal. So far, I believe none of your teams below a four seed is lost, if I'm correct. I think all your one through four.
That is correct.
Yeah. Just a quick update on the score.
You haven't had that.
We get just got a quick update on the score. Virginia's leading over Oklahoma 7-3 in the first 2 minutes of the game.
All right.
Yeah. It's,
So I guess we can go to baseball now, and we will check in on those scores as time permits as we go through. And what we have in baseball is a lot of signings, a lot of extensions, and a lot of teams shoring up people for the future. And roster
decisions.
Yeah, there's some of that, and you may have more of those. I got a lot of signings here, so we'll go through some of those, and then I'm sure you'll have some later roster moves. The first big one is Mike Trout. He got a new extension. In the new part of his contract for 2020 and up through 2021, or 2021 through 2030, he gets $360 million for those 10 years. But for this whole year and the next year, the whole thing all added all together, it's $430 million for 12 years. No trade and no opt-outs, if I've got it all right. And
that is correct.
So that's amazing. And so Artie Moreno will spend money in a flourishing way, but then it never seems to pan out for him. It just doesn't seem to produce on the field. We'll see how it happens this time.
It is the biggest contract in North American pro sports history. The 12-year, $430 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clayton Kershaw is not going to pitch the opening game for the Dodgers. He's got shoulder problems, and he's had off and on problems. I don't know. If they were going to do a long term for him, which nobody's really asked them to, but I don't think I would. He had started 8 openers in a row, and of course he's pitched a lot of postseason games, and finally got a little bit of the monkey off his back for postseason. But he's been kind of not as healthy as some. So we'll see about him down the road.
This is the year, Chris. He could have opted out, and he chose not to. So he signed for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals signed a 5-year, $130 million extension. So that goes, I think, through 2024. Blake Snell got a $50 million 5-year extension from Tampa Bay, and he would have only made like about $500,000 this year, but he's going to get $1 million this year, and he got a $3 million signing bonus. And then, the rest of his contract up through 2023. So that takes him through what would have been his arbitration years and his first, what year could have been his free agency year. So Tampa Bay got a couple of years where they don't have to worry there. Chris Sale had a big contract yesterday, 5 years, $145 million with the Red Sox. And he's going to be 30 on March 30th. So they are not going with the guideline they had before when they did not re-sign John Lester, didn't like to pay the big buck from 30 on. And Chris Sale, like John Lester, has a good, and it's not the same regime. Let's remember that. This is Dave Dombrowski. This is not, the group that was there before. I forget who, Jed Hoyer or whoever was the GM at that point. So you do have
Ben
to remember.
Ben Charrington, wasn't it?
Ben Charrington, I'm sorry. It was Ben. I got mixed up because they were all Theo's buddies, and they all flip-flopped, and one went with Theo and one stayed, and Ben Charrington. But they didn't do that. They kind of had a guideline that they didn't want to go over. But Dave Dombrowski and his group did decide that Chris Sale, and he's a good worker, as was John Lester. No criticism of John Lester, but it's a 5-year. He has had a few health issues, as most pitchers do nowadays, but they always back him off, and he's a good worker. So that's what they're going to do. And there's an opt-out after the 2022 season. And Verlander got a 2-year, $66 million extension. And so that was all the contract news, and that was with Houston, of course. So you say you have some roster stuff, Perry?
I was listening to some of the games over the past couple days. Firstly, with the Indians, it is not a certainty at all that Hanley Ramirez will make that roster. They were talking about it yesterday. Tom Hamilton and Jim Rosenhaus were, and he's not had a good spring, and wouldn't probably even be in the mix if it weren't for some injuries that they have. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. And the other notable one is that the Cubs have optioned infielder, outfielder Ian Happ to AAA Iowa to start the season. Happ was hitting .135 in spring training, so they want him to come and work on his hitting in the minors. So he'll be playing in Des Moines. And that's another thing, speaking of listening to things, people can listen to minor league baseball. If you have TuneIn on your iPhone or however you have it, I don't think you can do it on the Victor stream very much, but on your devices, if you type in Iowa Cubs or something like that, you can listen to minor league baseball on your device.
You wouldn't be able to search by team, but what you do is, for example, the flagship of the Paw Sox is WHJJ in Providence. So if you know the flagship station, you can find them that way, or you go through, you say, okay, I know there's a team in Nashville. which station in Nashville picks it up. I know the sounds are playing, you know, whatever. And you go through and find your sports station and find it that way. So that's kind of the way to do it. Do it by city, because you say, okay, there's got to be a station in Indianapolis covering this team, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. So you can do that, but there are going to be some big roster decisions over the next few days. So
I can give you one right now. The Reds sent Nick Senzel, the number 6 overall prospect in MLB's pipeline, who was playing center field, back to the minors this week. And it's all of that, you know, where the player is controlled for another year.
It's basically Bill, a Chris Bryant thing,
right.
If you remember that situation.
Right. It has nothing, especially Chris Bryant in 2015, has nothing with them saying, we're going to put the best team on the field. No. Stop the BS. No. Stop the lying.
Well, but he'll be back. If he's that kind of a player, they're usually back in about 2 weeks. So it's not that big a deal to the structure of the team. But it is, you know, this is what the Players Association, this really makes them angry when things like this happen. The contract extensions of everybody, they were happy about those, like Blake Snell, for example. That was a good thing for the Players Association to say, yay. You know, here's a young guy who won the Cy Young, was only going to make $500,000. I mean, which was embarrassing, you know, and the Rays took care of that. And, you know, they don't spend much money, but they did take care of that. But, you know, some of this other stuff is just drives them crazy when they do this. And these are the kinds of things they're going to want to, I don't know how you work around that, you know, other than having a salary cap or something.
If there is any good news, Chris, the union and baseball are talking a long way out about these issues. So if there is any good news, it might be that.
That's right. And we had last week on here about some of the rule changes, some to be implemented this year and some next year. And that shows that they are trying to work on some of that stuff. And but the nitty gritty is the arbitration years, the free agency. When is free agency going to come in? Having a deadline maybe for when you have to sign your free agents, because there gets to be like this jam. We still have people out there. Who are some of the people that are still out there, Perry, that haven't signed yet?
Dallas Keuchel is still out there. Craig Kimbrell is out there. Those are the two big names that are still out there. And the latest I've heard on I've heard nothing on Keuchel. But Kimbrell apparently is still in contact with the Twins, the Braves, and the Brewers.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, speaking of
Before we move on, Chris, let's... normally it's Chris that does all the reading, but I will read for you real quick. Here is your lineup for opening day. So if you're curious about opening day, the first game will be the Mets and the Nationals, 1:05 Eastern. Orioles and the Yankees, 1:05 Eastern. Cardinals and the Brewers, 2:10 Eastern. Braves Phillies, 3:05 Eastern. Tigers Blue Jays, 3:37 Eastern. Astros Rays, that's at 4:00 Eastern. Cubs Rangers, 4:05 Eastern. Angels and A's, 4:07. Pirates Reds, that's at 4:10. Rocky.
Yeah, what's the deal about the Reds being the first game in baseball, Bill? Whatever happened to that?
That went by the wayside when the...
that one's at 4:10. Rockies and Marlins, that's also at 4:10. Indians and Twins, that's at 4:10. A lot of 4:10 games. Giants Padres, 4:10. Cardinals Dodgers at 4:10. White Sox and Royals, 4:15.
Wow.
And the Red Sox and the Mariners, that'll be your lone night game at 7:08 Eastern.
That basically, and I don't know what the crew situation is, but the only game I heard promoted on ESPN Radio today was the Red Sox game. I'm thinking that they're treating it like a Sunday night game. They've got basically a Sunday schedule here. When you look at those games, I mean, it's Sunday on a holiday weekend kind of schedule with all the 4:00 games in the Eastern
time zone. And ESPN TV will probably have a full day of baseball, though.
Right, and I don't know what they're going to do on April 9th when the Red Sox come home, if ESPN's going to do some kind of special coverage. They don't normally cover a Tuesday afternoon game, but that should be the day that the rings and Tom Brady will come out of a cake or something, and, you know, there'll be all kinds of shenanigans going on at Fenway Park. So we'll tell you later who's not coming out of a cake for the Patriots this year, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, but we have baseball predictions. And what I did, and I'll do it really fast, I wrote down standings, and I did it in a hurry, too, so it may be kind of silly. But here's the way I have the standings going. I have the Yankees winning the American League East. I just think that the Yankees' starting rotation is less suspect than the Red Sox bullpen. We know that both teams can score, And we know that they're going to be both in the postseason. But I just think the Yankees, I'm just going to have to pick the Yankees. I have a funny feeling, you know, you're going into the year with no closer, and Matt Barnes is going to try it, but he's only done it in limited, time. So we'll see about that. So I got the Yankees winning the division, the Red Sox second, Tampa Bay third. I think they're going to maybe not win 90 games, but they'll be decent. Toronto and Baltimore, no, they won't. They're not going to be good. They'll be fourth and fifth, and that's it. American League Central got Cleveland managing to win it. They've got their issues. We were talking about the other night in our sports conference. Cleveland has a lot of pitching, no hitting. Minnesota has a lot of hitting, and their pitching is suspect. So I got Minnesota finishing second in that division. The rebuilding teams are still rebuilding. Chicago's been doing it longer, so I put them ahead. Chicago 3, Detroit 4, Kansas City 5. In the West, Houston should win that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I've still got Oakland for second. They started off, of course, 0-2, but somehow with smoke and mirrors, and Bob Melvin gets it done, and I don't know how they do it, but they do. I'm picking the Angels third. Seattle, I guess, has kind of done subtraction on their team, and then Texas fifth. And then I'll do the National League standings, and then we'll do the postseason. They had Washington winning that division. I just think having Bryce Harper out of the locker room is a little less of a distraction. There were things always happening with Bryce Harper, so I'm thinking it might be the way teams sometimes play the last couple of months of the season when the trade deadline goes by. Whew, that's over. So let's see. Philadelphia second with Bryce Harper. I think he's going to help their offense and hit 40 or so home runs with that bandbox ballpark. So that'll help them. Atlanta third. But these four teams and the Mets too are all going to be close. I think Atlanta is going to be right in the mix, as will the Mets. Again, it has to do with health. Atlanta's a good young team, but they've got a lot of young starting pitching. We'll see about that. The one team that's not going to be in anything is Miami. They're going to be out of it, and their games will sound like spring training games. You turn those games on, nobody's there. It sounds, unless they're playing, some real contender, that nobody goes to those games. In the Central, I have to pick Milwaukee. I think they're still going to be pretty good, especially if they can get Kimbrel. That's something they need. I'm picking the Cardinals to finally get second place. They've been close but no cigar the last two or three years for postseason. I think they're going to get in it this year. The Cubs third, just because they remind me of the Red Sox. They've got sort of things. They got bullpen issues, I guess, Perry. I don't know. You'll talk about your team when you do your picks, but yep. I just have a feeling about the Cubs that it's just always not right. Cincinnati fourth. I think they've improved a bit. Pirates fifth. That doesn't mean the Pirates are going to be bad, actually. That division is going to do a decent job. Colorado to win the West. Dodgers second. San Francisco third. Those teams are going to be pretty good. San Diego, well, that's great that they signed Machado, but they're going to be fourth. And Arizona, I guess there was a lot of subtraction on their end, so they're going to be fifth. For the wild cards, I have the Red Sox and the A's, and I have Oakland beating the Red Sox in that wild card game, just because. Oh. But then Houston over Oakland, the Yankees over Cleveland, and Houston over the Yankees. So Houston to win the pennant, National League, L.A. and St. Louis in the wild card, L.A. beating St. Louis, Milwaukee over L.A., Colorado over Washington, then Milwaukee over Colorado. So I have what we call the flip-flop World Series, where the Houston Astros, only in the American League since 2013, will represent the American League against the Milwaukee Brewers, who left the American League in 1996. And I have Houston beating Milwaukee. So you guys go for it.
Now, in honor of saving time, by the way, that Texas Tech game is over, Bill, if you have a final on that. But the Texas Tech game is over. I know they won it, but I just don't have the numbers. My American League, Chris, picks are mostly like yours. The only difference is in that second wild card, I have Minnesota. I think Minnesota and Oakland are going to fight for that. And I also had the Red Sox winning that division. I don't know what leads me to believe that's going to happen, but that's the only difference I have in the American League. And in the National League, I do pick the Cubs to win the Central only because Joe Maddon is on thin ice this year, and he basically win or you're out. So I have them winning. The concern for me with the Cubs is certainly their bullpen, because they've got some injuries down there. Pedro Strop, they don't know if he's going to be ready for opening day. Brandon Morrow is not going to be ready for opening day. And so they're going to have to make some decisions there. The Ian Happ situation, with Ian Happ being optioned to AAA, and I feel very good for a guy named his name is Mark Zagunas, and he's played in here for two or three years at Iowa. And I feel really good for the guy because it sounds like he's going to make the team. out of spring training because Ian Happ got optioned. And one thing that we have discussed in the past is this Addison Russell suspension. And I was listening today, Zach Zaidman and Mick Gillespie were doing the game on WSCR. And we were talking about, that these guys can play in the minor leagues during suspensions. They can only play in the minor leagues for the last seven games of said suspension. So,
okay.
Addison Russell,
so it's like a rehab from an injury, basically.
It is. He cannot play the whole year. He can only come up 7 days before, 7 games before his suspension is over. But I think the Cubs will win. I do pick the Cardinals second. As a Cubs fan, I'm, that's a little odd, but other than that, Chris, I can't disagree with your playoffs. I don't think the Cubs are going to make the World Series any this year, though, because that bullpen is just going to rear its ugly head in the postseason.
But you're not picking. So who are your World Series teams then?
My World Series teams are the Astros and the Rockies.
Oh, Astros and Rockies. Okay. Yeah. All right. What do you got, John?
Mine is similar, kind of similar. Like I said, the only thing I have flip-flopped a little bit from yours, I have the Red Sox winning the division, Yankees as a wild card, and the A's. With your others, I pretty much have the same in American League. I had the Dodgers over the Rockies, though, in the West, and I had, I had Cardinals and Cubs flip-flop. I had the Cardinals winning the Central and Cubs as a wild card, Cubs and Rockies as your wild card teams, and I have an Astro-Dodger rematch in the World Series with the Astros winning.
And for anybody, for anybody who doesn't know, Sean and I do have this rivalry, with me being a Cubs fan and Sean being a Cardinals fan. We've gone back and forth on this for years in the sports conference, so you guys may get in the middle of this if it gets good.
So the Astros to win that. Basically, we're all agreed the Astros to win the American League pennant and then either playing Milwaukee or the Dodgers or the Rockies.
By the way, the Texas Tech score was Texas Tech 78, Buffalo 58.
I was just getting ready to tell you that, but it was a 20.
Jerry has his hand up. Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like you guys' predictions. I'm going to go the same way with the Astros and the Brewers in the World Series. With the Astros winning it, I'm going to say six games. And secondly, Chris, do you have any idea who's going to be in the broadcast booth for the Red Sox on Thursday? We get to hear both feeds on XM, so they're treating it like...
like a Sunday, like a national game, because it really, it's like the opener. I'm surprised, actually, they're not playing it Wednesday night, but they just, like the old days, like they used to have that Sunday night opener thing and have, but they decided to do it the Thursday night. But anyway, I think it'll be Josh Lewin. The reason I say that is, I don't know. I'll know tomorrow when they come on, when they get to Arizona and they start playing it. Where are they going to play those games, by the way?
They are going to play them at Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona.
Well, the Cubs, and that's where they
That's where they play. That's a very good spring training facility. So
They used to. Well, that brings back memories because when the Red Sox played the Cubs when they were there from 59 through 65, that was Mesa where the Cubs were. So they're still there.
So now, Jerry, who do you like in the Central?
Oh my, that's rough. I think I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I don't think, although there was a positive, the Pirates, Francisco Laureano is going to pitch. He signed yesterday.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the first thing. That's the one division that I have heard of, Jerry, that in our division, and that this would be me, you, and Sean, and I think it only makes everybody better. The NL Central, people are saying, is the only division where every team has the potential to have a over 500 record.
Division. It's a good division. So anyway, to answer your question, Jeff, because he's based in the West Coast, I'm thinking that Josh Lewin is going to do the West Coast trip. And we'll see who goes to Arizona with Joe tomorrow. That's my point. The game is at 9:05 Eastern, and we'll see who's with Joe. But I'm thinking that he was in Florida the last three or four days, and I think he was going to make that trip, and so I'm thinking he'll be the one that's doing the games with Joe, and that's great. He's the best of the group as far as I'm concerned, except for Dave and Sean, who you're not going to get very much. But I'm not yet impressed with Mario and Pemba on the early returns. I'll have to see. We'll see if he grows on me and gets into it. But it's difficult to switch from TV to radio when you've been doing TV a long time. So we'll see how he does.
Yeah, and the reason they're not doing a Wednesday night game is because they have NIT and I believe some NBA on Wednesday. ESPN.
Okay, well, you know, that they could, and they do stuff. Sometimes they put the baseball on ESPN2 or move the basketball. So,
well, NIT's on both. NIT's on several of the ESPN.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. So,
and obviously, yep. Chris, tomorrow night on our network, on the Cubs network, if you want to listen to that, it is Zach Zaidman and Mick Gillespie doing the broadcast on the
okay.
Cubs channel tomorrow night.
But we'll have those games if people want, and the Red Sox and Cubs are popular, 9:05 on Monday Eastern time and 6:05 Tuesday. And then no games anywhere Wednesday. Everybody's getting to where they need to be, and then they'll start bright and early on Thursday. And by the way, the weather is supposed to be good here. The long range is good here for Thursday. So I'm thinking the East Coast game should be in pretty good shape. It's supposed to be around 60
here. And the weather should be good in the Central as well.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, I guess we can move on to football very quickly. It won't be long, but we have some big news today, and Rob Gronkowski has retired finally. Of course, he threatened to do that last year. He was really a shadow of himself last year. He was still battling all the injuries he's had, and but a great tight end and Tom Brady's main weapon, he and Julian Edelman. And so the Patriots need to do something about getting Tom Brady anybody that can catch the football. I mean, right now, you've got Edelman and Philip Dorsett, you know, whatever. There's not much. The cupboard is pretty bare. So Bill Belichick is actually going to have to go out and either draft a wide receiver, which would be an unusual event for him because that hasn't worked. Bill Belichick is not the best general manager. He's by far, far, far the best coach and probably the best coach of all time. He's not the best general manager, I promise you. He just isn't. So we'll see what he can come up with, but probably somehow through free agency or something. But I know they were talking about like Golden Tate. That'd be good, you know, but I don't know. He hasn't gone anywhere yet, so maybe there's a possibility there. But, I don't know anything inside. But Gronkowski was a heck of a player, and he's going to have a career where you're going to hear about him. He is too crazy, too wild and crazy to be quiet. He'll either be in the broadcast booth on the network level. He'll be doing something with pro wrestling. He'll be doing something. I have no idea.
He's talking actually to the WWE. Gronk is. He's actually talking about something. He has been training in a wrestling school, in one of the wrestling schools around there. Looking at it.
He'll be doing something. You know, he is the opposite of Johnny Manziel. Everybody knows he loves to go out and have a good time, but he's never gotten in trouble and he's never, you know, caused a problem. He's a fun-loving guy and everybody likes him. You know, he's just a good guy, but he just had so many injuries. And boy, I'll tell you, and I think Zolak had a point. He used to complain, and anybody who listened to Patriots games heard him say this, that if anybody else had to put up with the abuse that Gronkowski, usually superstars get called, but they were just letting people hang on him and do this and do that. And, you know, he just couldn't get away sometimes to do what he could do. But, and that's where the injuries came from, you know, too. But he was a heck of a tight end, and, you're going to miss him here with the Patriots. So that's what I mean. He will not be jumping out of that cake on or out from under whatever when the Patriots are honored, when they give the rings to the Red Sox. It's going to be a banner day here on April 9th, and it'll probably rain. No, I hope not. Anyway, the other things in football, Clay Matthews is moving from the Green Bay Packers to the Los Angeles Rams after, what, I think 15 years. He signed a two-year, $16.75 million. Now, there's a difference right there. Look at these unions. Here's a guy who's played 15 years, been a star. He's getting about $8 to $9 million a year. And what are these baseball players? What would a baseball player of that accomplishment be getting? You know, about three times more than that. So what can I tell you? They've got to look at that. He'll be 33 in May, by the way. And Blake Bortles is now the backup quarterback to Jared Goff with the Rams. He went over there. And Robert Kraft apologized for not doing anything. He says he is not guilty, but he apologized to everyone. He says he should be held to a higher standard because he runs the organization. So it was one of these non-apology apologies where he said, if I did anything wrong, I didn't do it, and I'm sorry, but I didn't do it. So that's basically what Robert Kraft said. So I think that's our football. Anybody else got anything on that?
No, I actually don't.
Okay.
No, nothing major in football.
All right. Well, let me grab my NBA sheet. And we'll
and
move
you can
on.
Call
John,
in
if you want to give the phone number,
go ahead and raise your hand.
Yeah, raise your hand.
Oh, we got a raise hand? Okay.
We do not yet.
Oh, we do not.
Okay,
all right.
646-876-9923 and then 287-723-4600. Hit the town key twice if you got anything to say.
We do now have it raised. We do now have a raised hand. Jamal, go ahead.
Hello, how are you? I just logged in and I was listening to what Chris said about Mr. Gronkowski leaving at the Patriots, and certainly I'm no lover of the Patriots, but hats off to Mr. Gronkowski. Hopefully he will be making announcements in Canton in the next 5 years.
He'll be going to Canton. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guy has clearly earned it, and the man has took a lot of abuse physically. But with that being said, you were making a point, Chris, about the difference between the unions, and you were talking about the Clay Matthews signing by the Rams.
Yep.
And you were comparing unions between sports. And there's a little caveat you missed. I would say almost that the NFL union might be a little stronger now than the Baseball Players Association, because you still see a whole bunch of free agents still out there in baseball, and at least Matthews gets signed. If Matthews was a 15-year player in Major League Baseball, he might still be on the doggone street.
I think the difference, though, Jamal, in the players is, in baseball, when you sign these guys, all the money is guaranteed. In football, not much of it. You don't get a whole lot of guaranteed money, and I think that's the reason that they sign quicker. But in baseball, it's more guaranteed money.
Right.
Well, that's true, and I understand that. But, maybe baseball, if they want to get their guys signed fast, they should go back and try to pry old Donald Fear away from the NHL.
Well, what I think is interesting is the one problem that baseball has is their commissioner too. He makes announcements of things all the time like they're going to happen, and then they don't happen. He ruins the credibility of his office, I think. Don't you think, Perry? He's always saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen.
That's absolutely true.
And he doesn't work it out with anybody ahead of time. You don't see that in the NFL. But really, the NFL, the best thing about the NFL is a non-guaranteed contract. It means everybody, when the Padres are 25 games out on September 5th and he doesn't run out of ground ball, that wouldn't happen in the NFL because it's not for long. So you can't do that kind of stuff. And this is why the Padres are, it's one thing to sign some of these, Harper and these other guys, like they did in Trout. They're going to work hard. They've pretty much proven that they will. This is where the bad part for Machado, for the Padres, is. They got the big lemon of the whole group, I think, and it's going to be proven. And he's not going to change. And if the Indians can get rid of Hanley Ramirez, more power to him. That's addition by subtraction right there. He doesn't work hard either, and he's a pain to have around. So if Tito can get rid of him, that'd be a good idea. Anyway, let's see if we can move on to the NBA here. And, of course, we'll give you the standings. We'll give you the proposed playoff pairings for the moment. Milwaukee, number one, at 54-19 in the East. Now, of course, we're down to about 8 to 10 games left. Season will be ending, I think it's April 10th. So we're only a couple of weeks away, really, from the end of the season. Toronto at 51-22. So Milwaukee's got a pretty good hold on that number one spot. Philadelphia, 47-26, number three. We have Indiana, 44-29. I know they won a big victory today. So the Celtics at 43-30, and they're in fifth place, and they played another ridiculous loss for them last night. Again, you can give credit to Charlotte. It takes a 2-to-tango here. But the Celtics had an 18-point lead with 8 minutes to go and lost by 7. So how do you do that if you're pretending that you're going to contend? The Celtics will really be criticized if they don't make the Eastern Finals. They at least need to do that. And coming out of the fifth spot, that's not going to be easy. So we'll see what happens. But, they say they might turn it on. Kyrie may go all Kyrie on everybody, and that's fine. But people don't have any faith in him right now. Okay, so that's then we have right now Detroit. They've got this crazy in the paper. They got Detroit ahead of Brooklyn. Detroit should be ahead of Brooklyn. They're 37-35 because they played fewer games. They should be a higher percentage. And then Brooklyn in seventh at 38-36. Detroit 37-35. Miami 36-37. That's the last playoff spot. Then we have a couple of contenders behind them. Orlando 35-38, so just a game out in ninth place. Charlotte with a big win against the Celtics there, 33-39, two games out of the playoffs. Washington is no longer in the mix. They're at 30-44. Atlanta 26-48 in 12th. Chicago 21-53 in 13th. Cleveland 19-54 in 14th. And the Knicks again losing again at home today, and they're 14-59. And so in the East right now, we would have Milwaukee playing Miami. Milwaukee number one and Miami eight. we'd have Indiana hosting the Celtics, the 4-5 series. Be me and Bill Sparks going at it. And in that case, Toronto number one against Brooklyn number seven, two, Toronto two, Brooklyn seven, and Philadelphia three, Detroit six in the West. And I don't understand the way that what's going on with the Warriors. Robert was on this morning talking about that they basically didn't play their starters yesterday, and it showed. They got killed, but they're fighting for first place, so maybe they don't care if they're first or not. Denver is now leading at 49-22, Golden State 49-23, Houston is third, and this is the stats are crazy for some of this. Houston's third at 46-27. Then we get Portland in fourth at 45-27. Utah is right now shown as fifth at 43-30. The Clippers 43-30, although they won today. Again, this is going into today's action. They're supposed to be sixth. Oklahoma City is also 43-30. So we have a three-way tie for fifth and right now. San Antonio right behind them, though, at 42-31. They're playing the Celtics. Even
and they had a big winning streak going on there, too. Ended once, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then that's the playoff teams, because then you drop from 42-31 to Sacramento at 36-36. So 5.5 games out with like 10 to go. That's not happening. Sacramento and the rest of these teams are out of it. Sacramento 36-36, Minnesota 33-40 at 10th. Lakers are in 11th, 31-41 officially. Obviously, LeBron is out. First time he will not be in the playoffs since 2005. New Orleans 31-40. So I don't know what he'll do. He'll probably be on TV with everybody. They'll put him in the studio. He'll be somewhere in TNT or ESPN. He's not going to sit around. New Orleans at 31-43, Memphis at 29-44, Dallas at 29-44, and Phoenix is 17-57. So in the West, we have Denver at number one right now, and these all could change. All these pairings, because as I told you, from third through eighth, everybody's all stacked up there. So we'll see what happens. But Denver is number one. They play San Antonio right now at number eight. We know that all these eight teams, as I say, will be in. But where they'll play, who knows? You know, Portland at four would right now be playing Utah at five. Golden State at two would be playing Oklahoma City at seven. And Houston would be hosting the Clippers. So, and then we have some games today. The Clippers beat the Knicks 124-113. We had Milwaukee over Cleveland at 127-105. Indiana clobbered Denver 124-88. So I don't know what was up with that. And then at 6 o'clock, Charlotte started to play at Toronto. At 7, we have Houston at New Orleans. 7:30, we have San Antonio against the Celtics here at the TD Garden. And at 8:30, we have Detroit against Golden State. And 9:30, Sacramento against the Lakers. So any NBA comments?
No, not really.
Yeah, we're kind of in the dog days of the NBA. And it's funny because, you know, everybody's kind of like, if they're going to do basketball, they're going to do postseason basketball. Because you look at this and you say, it's still March and they're still in the season. I remember when the playoffs used to start about March 15th. But hey, that was a long time ago. Okay, we'll do the NHL that is still continuing here, of course. In the Atlantic Division, we have Tampa Bay, who's wrapped up the President's Trophy, which is the top number of points for a team, and they're far and away the best regular season team. We'll see how the playoffs go. They're at 120. The Bruins are at number two in the Atlantic Division at 101. Toronto, number three at 94. Actually, the Atlantic Division is very spread out. No battles in that division. Toronto is three at 94. Montreal, four at 87. Florida, fifth at 78. Buffalo 671, Detroit at 64, and Ottawa last at 58. So we know where everybody's going to finish in that division. Of course, that's not the important part. It's the wild cards and the playoff situation. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. In the Metropolitan Division, we have Washington leading at 94. The Islanders are right behind them at 93. And Pittsburgh is shown as third, and they're at 93 as well. So it's a three-way battle there. Carolina fourth at 89. Columbus at 84 in fifth, Philadelphia 80, the Rangers 71, and trailing is New Jersey at 65. And in the East right now, what the pairings you would have would be Tampa Bay as the top team would be facing Montreal. And if you look at the wild card, Montreal would have the second wild card. They've got 87, I think, and Columbus is at 84. And Philadelphia has a bit of a chance at 80, although that's a long shot. Because, again, they've got about as much time to go as the NBA. So It's going to be tough. But right now, Columbus, they were up near the top of that division. They've really struggled. So right now, it'll be Tampa Bay playing Montreal. And in that, and continuing in the Atlantic Division, the Bruins would be hosting Toronto. And in the other division, in the Metropolitan, Washington would be playing Carolina. And the Islanders would be hosting Pittsburgh. Over into the Western Conference we go. And in the Central Division, we have Winnipeg at 94, leading that division. Nashville, 90. St. Louis, 88. Dallas, 82. Colorado, 80. Minnesota, 79. And Chicago, 74. And in the Pacific Division, we have Calgary leading it at 101. So they're tied for the second best record in hockey with the Bruins, 19 points behind Tampa Bay, just to give you an idea. Calgary at 101, San Jose at 95. Our Robert is not happy with his Sharks. They have been toothless lately, and they've slid a bit and probably won't get first place, which they had taken it over briefly, but they've fallen back now. Vegas Golden Knights at 90. We have Arizona at 79. Edmonton, 74, Vancouver, 74, Anaheim, 72, and the Kings, who they don't put in the paper all the time. I have to ask Miss A for their point total because it cuts it off. And I guess they think they've thrown them out of the league, but they've only got 62, but it's happened like 3 weeks in a row where the Kings totals aren't there. Don't ask me. In the West, we would right now have Calgary playing Colorado. And looking at these wild cards, let me see if I can figure this out. We got, we have Nashville, St. Louis. Dallas has one wild card at 82, Colorado at 80. So they would both come out of that division because in the Pacific Division, we have Arizona at 79. They're right behind though. And those are the teams that are fighting for those wild cards, those three teams. So anyway, so at the moment, what you would have is, Calgary against Colorado, as I said. And then San Jose would be two team in that division playing Vegas Golden Knights. And in the other division, Winnipeg would be playing Colorado right now and Nashville and St. Louis. Today, Washington beat Philadelphia 3-1 in the early game. We had the Islanders over Phoenix 2-0. At 7 o'clock, Montreal against Carolina. 8 o'clock, Colorado against Chicago. 10, Columbus at Vancouver. So that's your NHL story.
Pierre, what's up?
That's all right, Pierre.
Can I have more than 20 seconds today?
You can have about a minute.
Okay. Okay, in NASCAR today, in the trucks yesterday, Kyle Busch won. And in the cup race today, it was Brad Keselowski. And in college baseball, Georgia took 2 out of 3 from LSU today. And
Ole Miss took 2 out of 3 at Missouri.
Texas took 2 out of 3 from TCU.
On the on the college basketball, if LSU doesn't quit what they're doing, they're not going to win this next game. Because in the tournament, they had a 10-point lead at the half, and they lost that game. In the Holy Cross game, they had an 18-point lead, and they let Holy Cross come within 3.
Holy Cross. They were terrible this year. That was who the heck
Yale,
was that?
Yale.
They're one of those. You see, there you go, Pierre. You're down in the South there. All those teams north of New York City, they're all Holy Cross or Harvard or something. You don't know who they are.
Yeah, I don't know any of those.
This sounds kind of like football season. You can play your comments from the football season.
That's right.
But they had an 18-point lead against them and let them come back within 3. And then the game yesterday, they had a 14-point lead and then let Maryland tie them with 8 seconds to go, and it's just lucky they made the last shot.
Well, it sounds like it's Tennessee and LSU have the same problem.
Yeah, they get a big lead. Their whole thing is get a big lead at the half and then just hang on.
Right.
Any
score? Well, they're going to be playing Michigan. Michigan.
Hold on, guys. Any score updates, Bill, before we leave?
Yeah, Virginia Tech, let's see here. They have a lead over Liberty by 7 points, and Virginia has a 9-point lead over Oklahoma. So that should be about halftime there. So that's how it's going right now.
before we
all
turn
about
it off,
Virginia. All three of the four teams there are in Virginia. That's pretty crazy right now.
Before we turn it to Sean real quick, I do want to take a second, and we wanted to do this week. This was the anniversary of the passing of John, who founded the Sports Lounge. We want to remember John and pass, you know, we still think of his family, Debbie, and the rest of them a lot.
I picked the Dodgers in honor of John. You know.
There you go. Well, Sean, we're a little under two minutes. Sean, go ahead.
All right. Yes, I do want to remember John. We lost him March 21st, 2018.
17.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. 2 years. Yeah. March 21st, 2017. He had a stroke November 14th, 2016, and never recovered. But we want to let everybody know, of course, you can download this podcast and all of the podcasts from legendoldies.com just going to your podcatcher, typing in worldwide, all one word, space legend, or telling your little Miss A to play Worldwide Legend Podcast and just keep saying next until you find that one. You know, you can do that, or, you know, like I said, legendoldies.com, select them individually. Or you can also hear the Sports Lounge live at 773-572-7715, where you leave us any comments, questions, criticisms that you have. And when you're listening to that, if you have to hang up, call back in on the same phone. It just leaves off where you left off, 7 rewinds, 8 pause, 9 to fast forward. So, and don't make them, and hit the pound key to skip over. Do not make messages private. And when we can hear it, of course, Treasure Island Oldies is next. March Madness is next on the Turner channels and Westwood One. So